Lowe's knows you've got a job to do, and we help get it done. With the My Lowe's Pro Rewards program, eligible members save more. With volume discounts on qualifying orders through a quote of $2,000 or more. Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Offer can't be combined with any other discount, contract, and or special pricing. Exclusions, more terms, and restrictions apply. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to the Early Line, hour number two, live right here on SportsGrid. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. We transition over some leftover topics from Hot or Not that we want to continue to sink our teeth into, all relating to some of the top stories coming out of last night's action. And the Yankees got a big-time win over the Philadelphia Phillies. Almost another blown save for them. Good thing they were playing the Phillies. Sorry, Donnie. But the Yankees taking two games off of them. They've now won four games in a row, and they've jumped the Toronto Blue Jays in the standings in the AL East. The question, though, Donnie, should they jump the Blue Jays in odds to win the AL East? Hot or not, the Yanks should be in front of the Blue Jays in the odds market to win the American League East.
I'll say hot right now, and that's, you know, we're in this little flux pattern here until we get to the actual trading deadline because, you know, you're trying to rely on past performances out of the Yankees in their front office. It's very rare that they say, hey, you know what, we have a chance to make the playoffs, but we're going to sit this one out in New York City. I don't think that's going to take place. So I do think the Yankees are going to make some moves. And what has been the issue, Kevin, for the entire season? Most of the time, the Yankees absolutely mash at the plate, and they're going out and looking for starting pitching. Doesn't really seem like that's going to be the MO this year at the trade deadline because you're looking more for bats. Now, the Yankees actually waking up a little bit on offense here with more of a triple A lineup, or at least from like that 6, 7, 8, and 9 position. Maybe the Yankees do add something to the bullpen because that's very easy to do, add a competent piece, and it always helps you. You can never have too much bullpen help here at the trading deadline. But looking towards the hitters more than the pitchers, I think they'll make some of those moves. Looking at the Toronto Blue Jays, I guess if you're the Jays, you want to try to go out and add a frontline starter and bullpen help, but you're not really going to look to add a big bat to that lineup. That 1-9 should be fine, but even going with the early season diagnosis of the Tampa Bay Blue Jays, do I like that lineup? Yes. Should they hit a lot of team totals? Absolutely. But I do think they're 1 year ahead of schedule here, Kevin. So right now, if I were to set the odds and open them back up with the FanDuel Sportsbook, I would have the Yankees a little bit higher than the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm going to go hot on this one.
I think it's absolutely hot. And while we do not have odds right now to win the American League East, there are odds to win the American League, and the Blue Jays and the Yankees are priced at the very same number, 10-1 on the FanDuel Sportsbook. I think there should be a gap between these teams here. The Yankees have a little bit more of a pedigree, certainly playing better baseball right now as well. Look, I know that the Toronto Blue Jays have a lineup that can mash, but we talked about this at the break, and this is why I laid a number on this team to miss the postseason. I think they might have missed their opportunity. They had a phenomenal first half in terms of absolutely hitting the baseball, and they were not able to capitalize. They found themselves further back than they should have been. Not enough separation between, you know, Toronto's out there. Man, Toronto looks dangerous, and the Yankees look terrible. There was a game between them, and you see how quickly that has flipped there. The Yanks take two off of the Phillies. The Blue Jays drop both games against the Boston Red Sox, and I think these teams should move a little bit further apart when you're looking at their odds to win the American League East here. We also heard some rumors in the NBA about the Los Angeles Lakers potentially wanting to add some veteran point guard help to their roster. The Lakers right now are plus 600 to win next year's NBA championship. The two rumored names, one of them, Washington Wizards point guard Russell Westbrook. The other is most recent finals performer Chris Paul of the Phoenix Suns. Chris Paul is going to be a very interesting name here. Hot or not, Donnie, adding CP3 would make the Lakers title favorites. We'll bring the radio audience into the fold here on the early line, Sports Grid Radio. All of our radio affiliates out there Thursday morning, thanks to tuning into the early line, going through some hot or not topics here. But Donnie, I'll ask it again. Adding Chris Paul would make the Lakers title favorites, hot or not?
Now, this seems like one of those, you know, equations or at least questions on hot or not that's going to come up probably weekly from you, and it has to deal with the Lakers being a favorite in the West and winning another NBA championship with LeBron James, similar to, Kevin, what you were talking about, the Clippers, where you just reworded this question every few days to see if I was going to jump on that Clippers bandwagon with you on the way to an NBA title. I'm going not here. If they get Chris Paul, are they a better team? Yes. Will their odds improve? Absolutely. But I'm still looking East Coast here. Where Brooklyn at, as we like to say, that's where I'm going. Plus 200. Maybe they heard us yesterday say, hey, guys aren't going to bite on a plus 185 number. How about if we give them a plus 200 number? I'm still not biting on that, but if you're asking me today if CP3 gets added to the Lakers and nothing else happens with the Nets other than they come back healthy and intact next year, it's still going to be the Brooklyn Nets by a wide margin. CP3 makes a move to LA. Absolutely better ball club, but I'm still looking at the Nets. If that big three is healthy and stays together, by far the best team in the NBA for me, Kevin.
You know, it's interesting, Donnie. I mean, I don't know who gave you a peek at tomorrow's rundown. It's almost, you know, adding Russell Westbrook would make the Lakers title favorites.
Every
if I
day.
Don't like your answer today. And I certainly do not like your answer here today. Now, look, here, will it make the Lakers title favorites? No. They basically, the book wanted to put the Nets at like minus 300 to win next year's title. But should it? I think at the worst case, I think they should be co-favorites. Why not? Why not? Are you going to tell me, oh, but the Lakers can't be there because of injury concerns? Oh, I'm sorry, because the Brooklyn Nets are a bunch of healthy guys. I must have missed that. Chris Paul just went out there as the lead option on the Phoenix Suns and went to the NBA Finals. He enters the Lakers as the third best player. Is Kyrie Irving better than Chris Paul? Not sure that he is. If LeBron and Durant are of the same tier, it comes down to Anthony Davis versus James Harden here. I think they should be booked at the same price. Again, they won't be because the Nets right now, they would like to hang at a minus 7,000 number to win this title. But I think the Lakers, if they did add Chris Paul, would become very, very legitimate in that market. There's some other interesting stuff that we'll be able to talk about here. The expansion draft yesterday in the NHL. Some more Major League Baseball to preview. Keep it right here on the early line. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the early line. A lot of good stuff to get to here on the show. I'm Kevin Walsh, joined by Donnie Wrightside. We have the NHL expansion draft taking place yesterday. I'm already a little disappointed, a little perturbed about this whole thing because I don't understand why they're not, you know, we didn't have superstar after superstar after superstar flying off of this board. It appears to me, as an outsider looking in, that the Seattle Kraken saw the Vegas Golden Knights hit an expansion draft yet to miss the postseason. They were like, nope, none of that for us, please. Let's just go out there, future, future, future. But we'll see what George Kurtz has to say about this. I mean, even if Donnie and I are hockey guys, I think you could maybe argue he knows a little bit more than us. George, thanks for joining the show. Let's get straight to it. What did you make of the expansion draft yesterday and the Seattle Kraken making some moves?
All right. Now, first of all, I was going to be positive on this show, but you started this. You started being negative, and I'm there with you. I'm going to start with this. I thought this should have been an event yesterday. Make this an event. An expansion draft. July, it's only baseball going on. NBA has ended. NFL, not really in the gear yet. Instead, the draft at 8 p.m. last night Eastern time. We knew every pick by 11 a.m. By 11 a.m., we knew every pick for the team, so there was no point in watching anymore. Really, none. We knew Carey Price was not going to be picked. We knew Vladimir Tarasenko was not going to be picked. We knew Giordano was. We knew Jordan Eberle was. So I just thought they made a huge mistake here. Why did the Kraken have to send to the NHL the list by 10 a.m.? You knew it was going to be leaked out. You knew that was going to happen. Why not make it where it was just a surprise to everybody at 8 p.m.? Then you can have, you know, your Lenny Wilkins, you know, anybody else, you have Marshall Lynch, you have them announce, pick one by one. So they were like, oh, that's what they took. Instead, we knew. No trades were announced last night. Not a one. Not a single one. So there was no, like I said, there was just no point watching here. The trade embargo will be ended at 1 p.m. Eastern today. Then we'll find out what deals have been made here. There were 30 players selected last night. Kevin, as you're, well, you just came out and said, it was disappointing. I did expect them. They decided not to really go for it. And what I mean by that is, you know, they're going to be playing in the weakest division in the NHL next season. It's really all, you know, it's only the Las Vegas Golden Knights that are there with them, that are a good team. Everybody else there is weaker. You know, they could have been a very good team if they would have taken the players I just mentioned. Not that I'm knocking them. Listen, I get it. Carey Price, huge contract. $10 million, 5 more years. Maybe he needs knee and or hip surgery. I get that. Tarasenko, great player, possible Hall of Famer, but coming with 3 shoulder surgeries. I understand that. You know, they went heavy on defense. That's something to keep an eye on, guys. They went heavy on defense. Every team on earth needs a defenseman. I think you're going to see quite a few trades now that are going to come up after 1 o'clock today of defensemen. They'll be trading them to other teams, maybe for picks, maybe for prospects, maybe for players they can use. So we watch for that. But, yes, I was disappointed last night.
It was interesting, George, to watch it play out, because you are correct. As you saw some of those, you know, bits of information coming out, particularly from Frank Cervelli on Twitter, reporting about who's taking what. Imagine if the NFL stepped up to the plate and said, hey, guys, make sure to have your draft in before 8 o'clock when we go live tonight and watch them leak out, hey, who's going number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5? There would be no point of it. My question to you, George, is the differences between the Vegas Golden Knights and the Seattle Kraken of how they handled their drafts. Give me some pointers on what maybe the Vegas Knights did differently than what the Kraken did.
Well, is there no way that it's unfair when we judge the Kraken? Nobody knew, as far as the other NHL teams, what to do when Vegas came in, right? What are we doing? We're protecting how many guys? You know, trades to be made? How we get rid of, you know? Nobody knew what was going on, so a lot of teams were caught off guard. And that's one of the reasons why Vegas became so good so quick. They did a fantastic job. I do think organizations, general managers, teams, who's ever running the teams, were more prepared this time. I think they've been waiting for years now for this to happen. So they knew to, you know, be careful with my cap. You know, make sure I don't get caught again where I got to give up massive picks just to get rid of this contract here. And also, Seattle, they may have overpriced themselves. I mean, they wanted a 1, a 3, and a prospect to get pretty much take on any bad contract. That's a massive haul. And no teams are willing to give that up. You know, so it was strange what was going on here. So I think Seattle might have been really asking too much, you know, and then Vegas really got an advantage where no one knew what was going on. They just weren't prepared here. So I think that was an issue one. And listen, this could be an organizational philosophy as well. Maybe they're not playing the short game, you know, where they're going to take on the high contract but great players. And I think I would have gone that direction, mind you, if it was me, because I want to get the Seattle area buzzing with the players I'm getting in here. I want them to think, hey, we can be the Vegas Golden Knights again. We can get to the Cup Finals right away. They went the other direction. That being said, remember, Vegas wasn't a finished product either after the draft. They were finished after they made their trades. So we'll see what happens here. So I'm not going to judge them too harshly yet. But I think, once again, you look at the roster of the players they took. I would have done more. I would have brought on more of high-priced talent, more good talent. Their offense isn't going to be that good. Their defense could be good. Goaltending should be solid. But their offense is a question mark here. I would have done more.
The supposed star of their options was Carey Price and this phenomenal run that he goes on with the Montreal Canadiens. Now, again, I understand. I'm looking at it from the outside. I know Carey Price's name. Maybe a little bit older. Maybe a little bit expensive. But if you're the Seattle Kraken, you have the ability to offer your fan base one of the league's best goaltenders and somebody who his perception could not be higher around the league after what he did in Montreal. Am I wrong here, Georgia? Should they absolutely have brought Carey Price on board?
I think they did the right thing here. All right, I think they did the right thing, and I'll tell you why. Two reasons. One, they were certainly going to take Chris Driedger from Florida, another goaltender. If you were to take Dreger and Carey Price, you're now tying up about $15 million of your cap at goaltender. That's an astronomical amount. All right, so that's tough to do, and Dreger was an easy pick. This guy could be a franchise goaltender as it is. Now, there's no doubt, Kevin, as you're saying, Carey Price is a Hall of Famer. He's a Hall of Fame goaltender. But he's also getting to the mid-30s now. Makes $10-plus million a year. And I don't think Montreal – listen, there's a lot of PR that's going on here. The PR machine's in full work. But I don't think Montreal is lying that Carey Price probably needs at least one of a knee or hip surgery, maybe both. You know, so that means that he's not going to be ready to start in September. But hockey is just 2 months away, guys. The season starts again in 2 months. He's probably, my guess is, calendar year he's done. You'll see him in January. That's just a guess, educated guess. So I understand that. So he needs knee, hip surgery, mid-30s, and he's got 5 years left on a $10-plus million contract. That's a contract you're going to feel like it's a baseball player. Last couple of years, you're just eating it. You're just eating it. He's not that player anymore, and it's going to bog you down. So I think they did the right thing in not taking Price. I wouldn't have taken him either. I would have taken Tarasenko, though. Once again, I think that's a play you gamble on. He wants out of St. Louis, which means you know he has something to prove here. He's a proven goal scorer. And even if you didn't want to keep him, there are teams that were interested in Tarasenko. That would have traded something to you for him. But instead, they took Vince Dunn, defenseman. I get it. Defense is valuable. And I do wonder if Dunn's going to be on his way to another team as well, if they're going to trade him. So I agree. I would not have taken Price, but I would have thought long and hard about it.
You know what's interesting about also this draft coming up, because usually the expectations, George, of a you know, expansion franchise, you don't expect much from them coming out of the gate here. But yet the Vegas Golden Knights just a few short years ago had their exhibition draft, made some key free agent moves, and all of a sudden on their way in their first year to the Stanley Cup Finals, which they did lose to the Capitals. Now, there is an appetite for hockey in Seattle. They wanted this franchise for quite a long time. I don't think they're going to have any problem selling tickets. But, George, what about some expectations here that are now going to be on the crack? And since, hey, them fans might expect, well, do you see what Vegas did? We should be very competitive, when usually that's not the case.
Vegas ruined this for everybody. Vegas ruined this, because you're absolutely right. The fans are going to be like, what? Hey, Vegas went to, they lost to the finals to Washington. They've been a playoff team every year. You know, they're going to want that too. They're going to want that too. So, yeah, Vegas ruined this for everybody here. I think it's unfair, because once again, that could be an anomaly here. Vegas did have those advantages we talked about later. We don't know what the final team is going to be. This is still a weak division. There's still moves to be made here. They could still be in the playoff hunt. But right now, looking at this team, not a playoff team. You know, they're not a playoff team right now. But we'll see what they're going to do.
George, only about 20 seconds left here. Just want to check in. The Yankees absolutely winning the World Series, right?
No doubt. And sweep. A sweep, Kevin. Not even close.
Hang out! Yanks are so back, it's absolutely out of this world. George, absolutely love having you here with us on the early line. We take a break. We come on back. It's time for Take It or Leave It.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Back right here on the early line. Great stuff there from George Kurtz, breaking down the Seattle Kraken. 42-1 on them to win the Stanley Cup. Certainly seems like a waste of money based on the way that they approached that expansion draft. But maybe people thought that about Vegas. We shall see. We move on over to Take It or Leave It. We're going to bring up a PGA Super Boost. Now, this is no longer on the board, but always want to bring these up and give people an idea of what was being offered. This kind of came available yesterday post-show and then closed in between. But again, still worth mentioning here, Donnie, a PGA Super Boost, Tony Finau, Patrick Reed, and Matthew Wolff, all to make the cut at the 3M plus 200. Take it or leave it.
I'm absolutely taking it here, because let's take a look at the FanDuel updated odds board currently right now for the 3M Open. Just underway, I do believe. Justin Johnson at a plus 650. Louis Oosthuizen at a 14-1. But how about this? Finau, 14-1. Reed 18-1, Matthew Wolf 26-1. So you're telling me I'm going to get basically three out of the top five golfers in the tournament odds-wise just to make the cut? These are the ones I really like too, and why I love to take these, because you're not looking at the pressure of actually winning the tournament. There's, you know, a lot of golfers in the field. Some of these guys can play really well, get hot, and steal a championship here at the 3M. So if you're taking, you know, hey, I need Dustin Johnson to win, yeah, he's the favorite, but there's a lot of good golfers behind him. I just need, Kevin, really good golfers to play good golf. Great golf wins it. Good golf gets you to the weekend. That's all we want. 2-1 price. Love it. Taking it all day long.
So the thing about this boost is it's clearly off the board. So it's kind of quite literal in terms of take it or leave it. I meant to take it. I forgot. So technically I left it, but I absolutely love this boost. And I don't remember one of the make the cut boost parlays having three of the top five guys. Like they always come with pretty solid guys there. Like they've never really stuck you with somebody who's like just like bang on the number or anything like that, right? Like last week, Oosthuizen, Rory, Bryson, top level guys. But you're talking about, as Donnie just said, there are three of the top five guys. That is a great number. Love that. It's an absolute take it, or hopefully people, it is a took it in an ideal world for a lot of people out there. We mentioned the San Francisco 49ers making that move to extend Fred Warner. A lot of expectations for a team that missed the playoffs last year, but a lot of people aware injuries really derailed their season. They were never able to even get off of the floor. The Niners to win the NFC West, where they are favorites at plus 185. Donnie, take it or leave it.
Yeah, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to take this one. And I've liked the 49ers for a long time. You know, Kyle Shanahan, and so, you know, obviously we saw him make a Super Bowl run. They should have won a Super Bowl, but just didn't have enough out of Jimmy Garoppolo in the fourth quarter of that football game. And Patrick Mahomes seized the moment to gain that title. But looking at it overall, even when the 49ers are bad, they're not bad because they don't have the players. They were bad because they're injured, but still fought every single week and had a competent football team. If we can anticipate the San Francisco 49ers being healthy this year, why not? Now, we just talked about it a few moments ago, saying, can they be the number one overall seed? Can they? Maybe. But this division is still tough, Kevin. Plus 185 for the Niners. Second place Rams, 195. Seattle, 270. And Arizona, 600. You used to seeing a lot of these divisions, Kevin, like maybe a heavy favorite and then a really lowly dog coming in fourth place. Every single one of these football teams has a legitimate chance to me, Kevin, to make the NFL playoffs here in 2021. But I do think if they stay healthy, the 49ers are the team. The only downfall here is if the Rams, obviously McVay is wonderful. He now has his gunslinger at quarterback. But does it take a year or so for Matthew Stafford to get used to how that offensive system runs? If you try to equate it to Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, worked out pretty well. Super Bowl in his first year. So maybe there is a platform for Stafford to do well. That is a two-team race to me out west. But still, you got Russell Wilson. You got an electric young football team in Arizona. That's a tough one to win. But if you're asking me today, I will take it right now. I like the 49ers to win this division.
It's a leave it for me. And it's not that I'm necessarily ready to bang the table on the Rams, Seahawks, or Arizona Cardinals. And the Niners are the longest odds for a division favorite. So again, it shows how tightly contested this is. But I almost still feel like I have to do some of the projection out with this in a way that I didn't anticipate when we finished out last season. I was immediately a little bit surprised at just how high the Niners were on the board. I mean, we just talked about it. They have kind of a tier of their own, the second best odds to be the best team in the NFC. I'm a little bit surprised at just how highly power rated they are because of the fact that last season, I know it was injury riddled, but I just still feel like we're doing some of the legwork there, some of the projection on the Niners. That number is not good enough for me on the San Francisco team. Maybe I'll look at a win total to the over. Maybe, you know, I can parlay them with another team to make the postseason. That might be a little bit more attractive, but that plus 185 just does not do it for me on them to win the NFC West. And there is a world that all of those teams make the playoffs, which would be wild, but certainly could play out that way. We keep things moving here on Take It or Leave It. One more football-related note, going back to the world of college football, though, we've talked about this story. Texas, Oklahoma, contemplating a move to, not even contemplating, wanting to move to the SEC. The SEC seeming like they're all about it here. Perhaps just a matter of time, but certainly nothing that would be happening this season. So, Donnie, Take It or Leave It, a Big 12 team will make the college football playoffs.
I'm taking it here because I think it's going to be Oklahoma. Spencer Rattler, Heisman Trophy. I guess you can call him a favorite at this point here before we even get underway in fall camps. But looking at the Big 12 championship winner for 2021 here on the FanDuel Sportsbook, Oklahoma is the favorite here, minus 170, followed by Iowa State, Oklahoma State, Texas, and TCU. That gives you five chances with decent football teams. Now, here's what it's probably going to come down to for me, Kevin, when you're looking at the football playoff. Who is going to win the Big 12? I do think it's Oklahoma, but also sometimes it comes down to just one game and where you play that game, Kevin. And if we take a look at Oklahoma and Iowa State, you know where that game is this year? It's in Oklahoma. So you're going to have that home field advantage where the Sooners don't lose that often. I think they are the better team. I think even with one loss, as long as they win the Big 12, they will be able to get into the college football playoff. I am taking it. A Big 12 team gets in? Absolutely. And it will be Oklahoma.
Yeah, I absolutely agree on all accounts. I think it's Oklahoma. I think Oklahoma will finish top four. I wish there were odds to make the college football playoff. There were not odds for this last year. I don't know if this has to do with the fact that it's voted on, things like that can get a little bit tricky in terms of booking that, so I understand. I would love the odds to make the college football playoff there. And for the Sooners, not only the ability to look at the most of the Big 12 and feel like they are a cut above that division or that conference, but I'm really interested in Spencer Rattler. I know he had a lot of detractors last season, and I understand that it's not like he was excellent, but they played significantly better football down the stretch, and he got a year underneath that system. To come in now with all the time that he has spent under Lincoln Riley, I think he deserves to be the Heisman favorite. It's difficult to win the Heisman as the favorite, but I think he's deserving, and I think that'll be a big boost for the Sooners as they look to get themselves into the college football playoff. How about some Major League Baseball options for us here on Take It or Leave It? We're going to be previewing the board in our next segment here. Shohei Ohtani starting a new series against the Minnesota Twins. Donnie, take it or leave it that Shohei hits at least two home runs in this series versus the Minnesota Twins. Just to note, they are on the road for four games in Minnesota here. At least two home runs for your guy, Shohei Ohtani.
I'm going to go yes. And again, we're talking about a pitcher's ballpark in Minnesota. But having said that, look at the starting pitching that you typically get on a night-to-night basis out of the Minnesota Twins. And also compounded, Kevin, by what? It's not a three-game series. It's a four-game series. So one every other night, which is basically the MO for Shohei Ohtani. I think he does get this. So I'm absolutely going to take this because tomorrow night on the mound, even though Ohtani is a lefty, going up against J.A. Happ. Not exactly the best pitcher. We actually don't know who the pitcher officially is going to be tonight in their baseball game. But who am I to say? I mean, Shohei Ohtani, the MVP of the American League. Two home runs, four games. Am I going to say no to Ohtani? Absolutely not, Kevin. Take this.
Of course not. Of course not. Now, it's again, somehow became my job to at times pump the brakes on Shohei love. Uh-oh. But not in this instance here. Not in this instance. The Minnesota ballpark has been given out all year long. It's 28-18-1 when it terms of playing to the over in that ballpark. Ohtani is plus 220 to hit a home run. You talk about it, a four-game set there. I think he could have a multiple home run game. And that's the other thing. This Twins pitching, Donnie, does not really look like it is all that horrifying, right? Maeda is going to be on the mound, projected at least, I should say, to be on the mound today. Happ. Who knows what they're going to do with Barrios again? He seems like one of the top arms that could be available, but again, he could still certainly be had here. I think this could be a very big series for Shohei. The day off perhaps played a role here. This is also, though, Donnie, a very big series for the Angels. This is a team that they can beat in the Minnesota Twins. It's a team they need to beat if they're going to be taken even remotely serious in the odds in the AL wildcard.
Yeah, I'm assuming Mike Trout and Anthony Rendon sort of on deck here, getting back into the lineup. But how farther can you fall, and what is your owner, Artie Moreno, going to do with the trade deadline? Is he going to make a proactive move early and say, hey, I'm going to jump the gun before the deadline to give our team an extra 6 to 7 days to figure this one out? Or am I going to wait right up to the deadline to see if maybe we had a losing record over the past week and a half and it's even worth it? When you have a lineup like they have for the Angels here, Kevin, don't you sort of owe it to your fan base? Like, hey, we have Trout, Rendon, and Ohtani. We're not going to add on. What was the point of getting all three of them anyway if you're not going to try to push that button to make at least a playoff push so your fans can enjoy August and September? You're right. Key here over the next week to week and a half, seeing if they make any moves. But it starts tonight in Minnesota.
One more for us in Take It or Leave It from the Major League Baseball Board. Al Zelay, the Chicago Cubs starting pitcher, has given up lefty home runs at a phenomenal rate. It's absolutely incredible to watch Al Zelay go out there and give up lefty home run after lefty home run. The Cardinals, they don't necessarily pack a big lefty bunch, but Donnie, Take It or Leave It, Al Zelay gives up a lefty home run tonight versus the Cardinals.
I'm going to say no on this one. And the fact that the anticipated batters in the starting eight here for the Cardinals, Carlson, a lefty, terrible. He's a switch hitter. Same thing with Edmund. He's terrible. So I'm going to go with absolutely not on this just because they don't have any lefties that can do any damage.
It's hot. Al Zelay is going to get rocked by those two.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, let's do it. Time to break down this Major League Baseball board here on a Thursday. Things get started actually at 1 o'clock Eastern time with the Rangers and the Tigers. Found myself actually invested in this game yesterday. I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I should have. There were six runs for five innings. The over-under was 9.5. I felt good about it. A couple of bad pitchers on the mound. Ultimately, not able to get there. What do you know? Pretty much a repeat. Foltynewicz, Alexander. Two bad pitchers, two bad lineups. Total right now is at 9. Donnie, we're starting it off here with the Rangers and the Tigers. What do you make of this game?
I mean, exactly. What do you make of this game? It's two really bad baseball teams, two bad pitchers on the mound. As you said, it's two technically bad lineups. If we take a look as a season-long number on Foltynewicz, an XFIP number here, Kevin, of 5.58, striking out less than 20% of his batters, which is bad because that means that the ball is in play. And also, equal opportunity chance to knock Foltynewicz around? Absolutely. Take a look at what he's done versus left-handed batters this season. Keep in mind, again, Foltynewicz is a righty. 182 batters from the left-hand side, a 392 weighted on base average with an ISO power number of 309. Then you flip it over to the right hand side, 234 batters, Kevin, he's faced a 345 weighted on base average with a 262 ISO. That means anybody should be able to get hits, right? Not so fast here with the Detroit lineup. Now, look, they have some left-handed bats that they can throw in the lineup, but that doesn't mean anybody's going to hit. Let's take a look at the leadoff guy, Baddoo, a 375 weighted on-base average versus right-handed pitching, Kevin. And then you go all the way down to the nine-hole hitter in Hill. He's got a 382 weighted on-base average. Everybody else in between below par in Major League Baseball. So you're sort of taking a leap of faith. Then you flip it over to the Texas side. Alexander, the lefty, will be on the mound. You know, he's had about 200 batters that he's faced this year in 2021, a 4.83 XFIP, which is a little bit elevated. But take a look at this. He's a lefty, very good at getting lefties out. But from the right-hand side here, a 368 weighted on base average versus righties and a 234 ISO power number. But the same thing we run into. Connor Falefa to lead off. White, the second man in the lineup. 242 is a weighted on base average versus lefties. 222 for White. And how about Garcia in the three hole? Saw hit all those home runs early in the season in April and May. How about a nice tidy 293 weighted on base average versus left-handed pitching? So your first three batters here are a disaster. Hopefully Joey Gallo can rescue the day, even though it's a lefty-lefty matchup. 281 ISO power number, 391 weighted on base average. The best hitter in the lineup. But again, we're looking at two lineups, Kevin. Not very good. It's like you flipped a coin. Do we get runs or not here?
The problem is yesterday I said on this show, there's no way I'm going to be betting, projecting the Rangers or the Tigers to do anything, mm-hmm. which immediately turned into a lie. Part of it was, you know, you want a little bit of juice. Part of it was AEW was running in Texas. Look, there's a lot of different excuses that I could come up with. I'm not sure which one I want to use to blame. Certainly not myself. All in all, though, I will not do it again. Just there was no ability to come up with a big hit in this game. And it's just, and by Joey Gallo looks terrible at the plate. Like, the Rangers might want to call up and be like, hey, remember when he had 10 home runs in 10 games? That's the exact guy you're getting right now, because things are not going well for this Rangers baseball team. Let's keep things moving. How about the Braves and the Phils in action? The Phillies back to 500, 47-47, after dropping two straight to the New York Yankees. Good thing Matt Moore's on the mound. Oh, that's not exactly how you draw it up. They find themselves as home dogs, plus 120 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook. Total 9, 9.5. Moving around a little bit here, Donnie. Charlie Morton will get the ball for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, I don't know how much you could trust Matt Moore, even though he did have a good last outing. But let's take a look at the lefty on the season here, Kevin. A 561 xFIP number. He absolutely gets lit up by right-handed batters. 405 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of 290. Now, if you take a look on the seasonal averages here for the Atlanta Braves going up against lefties, it's okay. Jock Peterson, 348 weighted on base average. Ozzie Albies, 429. Arcia and Heredia both above with 382 and 347 respectively. But let's delve into it. Now that we have some numbers, and I like to bring these into the equation every once in a while, Kevin. The reason being is sometimes it doesn't really matter what you did in April and May. We're in late July. How have you been doing lately, which means over the past 30 days? Let's take a look at Matt Moore over the last 30 days. Still a high xFIP number, 5.08, still getting rocked by right-handed batters. But take a look at the Atlanta lineup today as it goes up against Moore over the last 30 days, just facing left-handed pitching. Look at Jock Peterson, a 516 weighted on base average. Freddie Freeman, 409. Ozzie Albies, 503. Arcia, 382. Heredia, 405. And Smith, 359. So if you're telling me six out of the eight batters that you have in the Atlanta Braves lineup, all elevated numbers going against a bad pitcher in a hitter's ballpark, looks like Atlanta's going to be able to score some runs as we take a look here. The over 9.5. You need the Phillies to play a little bit around in this game. Like, hey, if they're going to get 5 runs, walk 11 times, that's going to be an okay number to use. Charlie Morton, a better pedigree pitcher than what you're getting yesterday out of Wojciechowski for the Yankees, but I do think the Phillies will be able to hit in their home ballpark. And also, Kevin, when Matt Moore exits after 5 innings, that Phillies bullpen comes into play. The Atlanta Braves get a full 9 at-bats in Philadelphia. They'll score.
Yeah, that team total does look interesting. Charlie Morton, again, getting the ball for Atlanta. He saw Philly his first two starts of the season, 11 total innings, and he gave up 4 earned runs, which is respectable. All in all, then, he saw them for the third time in early May, and he was only able to get 2 outs and gave up no earned runs, but 6 total runs. A disaster inning there for Atlanta. It'll be the fourth time he gets the ball against the Phillies. That is going to be a good game. Perhaps some opportunities for both teams to put up some runs. Let's talk a little Yanks-Red Sox here, Donnie. It's a big game now because the Yankees were able to do what they needed to do against this team when they played them at Yankee Stadium, going to Fenway Park. They've not won at Fenway Park just yet. They've won 4 games in a row. Montgomery with the ball. The Red Sox, though, are favorites in their own ballpark, and that total checking in at 10 right now, because apparently all of the backups for the Yankees are way better than whatever they were sending out there before.
Yeah, this will be an interesting one as you take a look, because as you said, over under 10 in this one. We don't have an exact pitching matchup, but we're anticipating Montgomery. And I do have a couple outlets here showing Houck, a young righty for Boston, that's going to be on the mound. Now, he's only faced roughly, 50, 55 batters on the season, but he does have a low xFIP number of 2.89 and really handles left-handed batters well, being that he is a right-handed pitcher. But when you take a look at the Boston lineup, which is always fascinating to me, Montgomery on the season here, 4.28 xFIP, which you'll take in the American League, specifically in the American League East, where you're playing in a lot of smaller ballparks. How about this? Well over 300 batters faced on the season combined, but 86 from the left-hand side for Montgomery. He's handled them extremely well, Kevin. A 189 weighted on base average and an ISO power number of .049. Now, looking at the lineup tonight, you're going to get a lot of right-handed batters in that Boston lineup, so that's what your focus is going to be. But even take a look at Jordan Montgomery. Right on the line here, a 320 weighted on base average against right-handed batters, and a 161 ISO power number, which again is right about average. He'll get the lefties out. He'll handle his business from the right-hand side. It's just a matter tonight what you're going to get out of that Yankees lineup to be able to hit. Do I necessarily want the over-under? Do I know exactly what the pitching matchups are? Not really, but the Yankees at plus 110 might be a little bit sneaky here, because if Montgomery goes against maybe a bullpen game for the Red Sox, might lead towards the Yankees in this one.
That would be delightful to see. It does feel like at some point, though, and maybe not, but Again, the Yankees have been able to score six or more runs in three straight games. This is the first time this has happened all year long. It's come with, projection-wise, their worst lineup. If Montgomery can twirl it a little bit here, and he has seen Boston twice, six innings, and only given up three earned in both of those games, potentially an under of 10 runs could be live in that game. I want to make sure we bring up Giants-Dodgers. The final game of this series is tonight. Walker Buehler getting the ball, trying to come away with a split in this four-game set. The total is 7.5. The Dodgers are minus 180 with Desclafani on the mound for the San Francisco Giants, Donnie.
Yeah, pedigree pitcher, I think you're going to have the advantage, obviously, when you say the Los Angeles Dodgers. Walker Buehler's been great. Lefty and righties combined here. 268 weighted on base average to lefties. Again, Buehler is a right-handed pitcher and also doing a stellar job against righties with only a 230 weighted on base average against him. When you take a look at the lineup here, maybe it's just the Giants getting competent bat after competent bat here, because looking at the lineup overall, Wade, Yastrzemski, and Posey anticipated to be the top three in the lineup for this game tonight. How about this? First right-handed pitching this year, Kevin, 389 weighted on base average, 356 and 389 respectively here. So those guys are hitting extremely well. Let's flip it over to the Dodgers side. And who are we going to get in the lineup? Who's injured and who's sitting out? It seems like I joke about it during the regular season. Sometimes it doesn't matter who's in the lineup for the Dodgers. Now, you still want your A lineup to go. But Desclafani, a 4.25 xFIP on the season, striking out 23% of the batters that he's faced. He also, Kevin, doing very well on both the left side and the right side. How about Desclafani, a righty to lefties this year at 278 weighted on base average, which is great. Take a look from the right-hand side. 230 batters face, Kevin, a 233 weighted on base percentage. The 7.5 seems like a low number with these teams and these bats with their propensity, seemingly, to come back in late innings. But I got to tell you, being an over guy, Kevin, I'm looking towards the under in this game, more of that playoff atmosphere, and we'll see if we get the theatrics in the late innings.
Yeah, some of the games, you know, with these teams could be perhaps a little bit tighter to the vest, right? Putting out your absolute best bullpen arms when it requires, because each game between them, so, so valuable. It's so interesting because you see the Dodgers at minus 180, like, yeah, that's typical, but I'm not sure you can lay numbers like that against a San Francisco team that just keeps putting up wins. I want to bring up the other late game here on the board, because these are a couple of teams that are competing for wild card positioning. The A's right now are the second wild card team behind the Tampa Bay Rays. They're two up on the Yanks in the loss column and three up on their opponent tonight, the Seattle Mariners, but they are road favorites. Another low total, 7.5 right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook here. Manaea, Flexen, minus 144 on Oakland, Donnie. What do you think of this late West Coast matchup?
Yeah, most of the time you're going to lean towards Oakland, but I think one of the surprise Major League Baseball teams on the season overall have been the Seattle Mariners. It's amazing when you look at it and say, how's this team above 500 when it looks like entering into the season they were going to be one of those tanking mode teams and completely selling off pieces. So as you take a look at the Athletics at minus 136, it does make sense. Looking at Flexen on the season, then keep in mind, Seattle is a pitcher's ballpark, but then again, Oakland used to playing in a pitcher's ballpark, being at home in their place. 507 xFIP here for Flexen. But he has been decent. The reason why that xFIP number is so high, Kevin, he's not a big strikeout pitcher, only striking out about 15% of the batters that he does face. Doesn't walk very many guys. So if we're looking at his splits, lefties, 291, weighted on base average, fantastic. And again, Flexen is a righty, 328 to righty. So it matches up fairly well. The better pedigree pitcher in this game is probably going to be Manaea, and he's been good as well. 3.85 xFIP on the season, close to 25% of the batters that he is striking out. And when you look at that lineup for the Seattle Mariners from a season-long perspective, going up against lefties, it's not very good. Kevin, the anticipated starting nine at the plate for the Mariners, Haniger has a 386 weighted on base average. Every single other player, Kevin, below the limit in Major League Baseball, which means below that 320 weighted on base average. Slight lean here towards the Oakland Athletics for me out west.
And that's why the Flexen number is interesting, because I saw that higher xFIP. But if you look at what he's done over his last six starts, only six total earned runs allowed, pitching to a 1.38 ERA over his last six starts. So you can see why that is a very low 7.5 total. A lot of other good games on this baseball board. Indians Rays is going to get underway. Cardinals Cubs going to look to close things out. That Angels Twins series there, you see that total checking in at 9.5. That should be a a good one to follow as well. I know Donnie and I will be breaking it down on In Play Sports tonight. Next here on the Early Line, Ariel joins Donnie to let you know what's coming up on the Morning After.
Expert perspectives and action.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment on the Early Line today for Thursday, filled in a lot of Major League Baseball as we flip forward to football season. And as of next week, every single National Football League team will be back into training camp. We're going to hear a lot more about football and much, much more on the Morning After with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens. 9-12 right here on the Sports Grid Network. Good morning, Ariel. What are we talking about this morning on the Morning After?
Good morning, Donnie. It is just one of those times of year where you're saying, okay, we're going to talk a lot of baseball, we're going to talk the Olympics, then waiting for the NFL season. NBA's over, hockey's over. We do have a lot going on in the hockey world because of the new team with the Seattle Kraken. However, when it comes to just games and betting, NBA draft, yeah, I'm still just all eyes on the NFL. I cannot wait for the season to start. College football is right around the corner as well. Media days is always the time of year where you just get so excited about college football, and that's going on all this week.
No, it's great. You have a lot of these, you know, ACC, SEC having all their media days, which is great to watch. We had George Kurtz also on the morning show today talking about some Seattle Kraken drafts. But I think maybe the primary thing in college football is to look forward to it because, you know, their camps are getting underway probably the next week to 2 weeks here as we look forward to college football starting at the end of August, roughly a week and a half before the NFL season kicks off. But now you have the look of power conferences making moves. And how about the Big 12, Ariel? You might have, you know, Texas moving over, Oklahoma moving over, the rich get richer, as we like to say.
Right. It just presents the question, does that mean we're going to eliminate more teams from potentially being in the college football playoff? That's my concern. You get these teams that are in these conferences and teams such as Oklahoma, who win it almost every year, they get to go face teams such as Alabama in the championship games or the playoffs or semifinals because Oklahoma can't get out of the semis. But it's really tough to figure out how this would work correctly. You would just assume then the big SEC conference, let's just say, could end up getting handed more losses. Now, how does that factor in, Donnie?
Exactly. Less bowls and more playoff teams is exactly what I want. And more winners, which you're going to get on the Morning After with Ariel Epstein and Ben Stevens from 9 to 12. We're out of here on the Early Line. See you tomorrow.
When you're a winner, you get good at spotting advantages.
Like us.
Sports gaming strategies and expert information. The Winning Edge.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.